Welcome to Life on the Illinois Prairie. Your host is Wendy Fleming Dexter, and after 30 years living in small-town Illinois, she has stories to tell. Past cornfields and factories, into the heart of Amish country. There's more here than what meets the eye, far beyond what you think you know. So buckle up and stay tuned. This is Life on the Illinois Prairie.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Life on the Illinois Prairie. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. I want to thank you for joining me today. We had a week off last week, and we're back right at it today. I wanted to give a little update. The reason I was off last week, I had a guest scheduled, but he had an emergency come up, so he was unable to record his episode, so we just had a gap. And maybe absence makes the heart grow fonder. I can only hope. But if you're here today, I will. I had hip replacement surgery on February 20th, and it went so smooth. I could not tell you. I've been blessed. Very little pain. I'm walking on my own without any assistance, any devices. And in fact, I was just telling our recording engineer that Stacy stayed with me, and I knew that on day four I wasn't doing too poorly because I had had to have a walker before the surgery, and Stacy stayed with me, and I'd gotten up one night to go to the bathroom, and instead of, I hadn't realized I was on my way back from the bathroom that I didn't have my walker, so I assumed at that point, since I hadn't fallen down, I was doing fairly well. And within a day or two, I had a physical therapy appointment, and they did say I could indeed ditch the walker, which I gladly did. And I want to thank my friends that checked in with me on Facebook and text messages, and had some friends come by and bring a casserole, a book, and a card. That was very kind, and flowers. It's just very, very kind for people to do that. It's my first surgery I ever had in my life. I got through it at the age of 73, other than wisdom tooth removal. That was the only surgery I ever had, and wasn't scared of it at all in any way, shape, or form. I had seen my mother. Anybody who's followed this podcast will remember that I had been with my mother when she had hip replacement surgeries on her left side, her right side, and then she had revisions on both sides. And then at one point, the socket that the replacement joint fits up into had deteriorated to the point that they did kind of an experimental procedure, putting bone meal in there and trying to get that to knit together as a socket that replacement could fit into. And my mom was in a spica cast for a long time. And that was a very unpleasant situation for all of us, I can assure you. But I didn't have any fears of that happening in this case, and not at all, because the procedure, from what they did in the 1980s, the late 1980s, that my mother had done to what is done now is just light years different. My mother was in the hospital for days. I can't, you know, time gets away from you and you forget all the details, but it was at least a week and maybe longer, because she was, they'd get her up and set her in a chair, and then, you know, the next day she'd go to physical therapy, and the next day, you know, you had physical therapy and all these different things to go through while in the hospital. And the hip replacement surgery I had was as an outpatient, and they say, oh, you can either go home or you can stay. And I had hoped to go home. I don't know why. I just hoped I would go home. But then in the end, I did decide to stay. And I was so glad that I did, because they did, you know, wound management, and they drained the wound. And I mean, there were just so many people in there. You know, if you've been in a hospital, you know, it's an incessant in and out of people. But I never had any trouble resting overnight. But they were just so good to monitor everything. And I just felt more secure with knowing that just in those hours after the surgery that I was in hands of professionals that knew what was going on. And so they did a wonderful job, Dr. Louis Mandela, in his office at Sarah Bush Lincoln and Mattoon. And I want to thank Stacy, my husband Stacy, for his sacrifice, his service, if you will. You know, I've been in relationships over the last few decades, but I haven't been married since 1994, when my husband Joel and I divorced. So that was nearly 30 years on my own. 30 years living on your own makes you very independent and, as Stacy and I both know, set in your ways. We both are very set in our ways. I have my ways of doing things. Stacy has his way of doing things. And our ways of doing things are often very different. So when Stacy, you know, he got someone, his granddaughter was sweet enough, kind enough. Lexi, thank you so much, Lexi McMullen, for taking care of Stacy's cats. And he moved in and, you know, I vowed that I would try to become more tolerant. And in some ways I have. But to this day, even though we were married in May of 2023, we still live in separate towns. We're 10 miles apart. And we plan for him to move on to this property someday and have his own space in which he can relax, be with his cats, and just have his alone time. I mean, I live in a big house. You know, he's got his cats. I have 5 cats. They will never all, it's like a blended family. And at this stage of the game, trying to blend that family would be a disaster. I have enough infighting with my cats. There's always somebody chasing in somebody and causing chaos. But Stacy has been wonderful to help me out doing laundry, things that he ordinarily doesn't do. And once I gave him a blueprint of the refrigerator and, you know, the pantry, a blueprint of where everything is. I say that laughingly, but, you know, we all know men and women are different. We just have our ways. You know, having lived on my own, when I go to a room, I try not to, if I have something to put in that room, I'm going to put it back. And if I have something to take back into the other room, I mean, I kind of plan my trips strategically so I don't have to spend all day darting back and forth, batting forth, back and forth. But, you know, it's different. So when I was a much younger girl, I remember that my Uncle Charles, who lived just up the road from where I'm at, and my Aunt Lois lived in separate states. And it wasn't that way all their married life, but I should have called one of the cousins and found out exactly what time frame that was. But I thought it was so weird that they lived in separate states. But she taught in, I believe it was Louisiana. She was a professor. And Uncle Charles lived up here just north of Cook's Mill, about a mile and a half from where I'm sitting right now. And he farmed there. So the arrangement worked for them. And I get it. Now I get it. I understand. I do want to thank Stacy for taking time to move in for a week. Let me tell you, when the clock ticked down to that last second, his bags were packed and he was ready to roll. Am I exaggerating, Stacy? They can't hear your head shaking back and forth, but there was no exaggeration. He was ready to go home and be with his kitties, and I don't blame him. But I will say this, he did not want to leave 1 second before he knew I was safe. And I appreciate that, you know, because if he hadn't been here with me, I would have had to go to some kind of a care facility, and that would have not been pleasant at all. And so I'm very blessed that I have someone that was able to stay here with me and help me through this situation. And speaking of situations, I want to move on to the discussion of boundaries. Boundaries have always been hard for me. As the only girl, had 5 brothers, a chubby farm girl, I never fit in school. I didn't feel like I fit in school. I had a small group of girlfriends in my junior high and high school, but, you know, I wasn't in any of the popular crowds. And don't we all? We all have these times we look back on when we didn't fit in. And I think it's harder to set boundaries when you're young like that. But, you know, when you want people to like you. You want people to like you. I did. I still do. I think it's a hard habit to break. And it's not a bad thing to want people to like you, but it's a bad thing when you want people to like you to the detriment of your own well-being. And I had just learned in the last few years of some family issues that had been going on. And I love my family. I'm blessed to have my family. But that we had some issues that were going on, and it had caused some very hard feelings. And it had been so hard to set boundaries within that framework of a family, because, you know, when you have your birth order, and then you have kind of the way things have always operated, the way the family has kind of put you in your position, the job you've been assigned by the family and kind of more or less agreed to be in without, you know, I don't know if you agreed to be in it or it's just there. It's kind of assumed that you're going to be that person. And in my case, it was the caregiver to my mother. And I wouldn't take it back for anything because, you know, I would have done anything to keep her out of a nursing home. I would never do that to her. But I want to go back and share an incident. It doesn't have anything to do with my mother. This is more recent. I want to go back to an incident that happened to me in December of 2023 that I want to share. And I hope you can understand why this incident bothered me so deeply. I'll just proceed with telling it. I have a lifelong friend since grade school and classmate that I began to share phone calls with on Sunday afternoons. She'd moved away from here decades ago. But she had a parent that still lived in the area, so she would periodically come back. And I would see her through some events that she had at her house for her family member. And so we decided to start calling back and forth, talking on the phone. And our phone calls, we started talking on Sunday afternoons. We kind of set up a time that it was mutually agreed upon, and we'd talk. And those talks were just so freeing to me because I had lost my best friend, Marilyn Perryman, who I'd known her for 40 years. There wasn't anything she didn't know about me, and there wasn't anything I didn't know about her. We had shared just about everything, and I have people that I love and treasure their friendship, but nobody that I was that deeply attached to as Marilyn. And so when I lost her, it was a very critical part of me. And, you know, I mean, I love Stacy, but I can't, you know, you can't tell your husband everything or your partner everything. You just use if you have a good girlfriend to confide in, or men that have people they talk to. If guys do that, I don't know. You're all different. But this particular friend had been, once we got talking and got more comfortable and we started sharing our stories, and she had been working with an energy healer that had helped her deal with her past family trauma. And our family backgrounds were very different, but because she was raised in a more affluent family than I was. My daddy was a farmer, and he wasn't a wealthy farmer. So we'd have these phone calls and bare our souls. You know, I felt like there were things she could teach me, and there were things that she could learn from me. And we'd reach through the phone lines and pull each other through these hard times and talk each other through these toxic situations that had been in our lives, and some of them still ongoing in our lives. We talked about our shared love of music. She'd loved it and been a part of a vibrant music scene for decades, whereas my experience was more of appreciating music as an onlooker or an audience member or a bystander, until I had the opportunity to sing with Stacy in our duo and for a while in the band. So we discussed my feelings as being the only girl raised with five brothers, and she came from a family of three or four children. And how no one really knew or cared about, you know, how to deal with me and my family situation. And my the boys were all geared and talked toward finding jobs. And 4 out of 5 of them ended up going into the Navy. And there was a 20-year age span in my family, from the youngest to the oldest. So the eldest two are out of the house, where my younger brother, when my brother, younger brother and I were in grade school. So we had these long, long phone calls. The time just flew past. It never drug out. There were never unpleasant pauses. There were never those long. It was very therapeutic to me. I looked forward to these calls. Stacy even looked forward to them. He knew it was good for me. You know, he said, "When are you going to talk to this person again?" And I'd say, "Well, we're going to talk on this particular Sunday." And I often poured out my heart to her, telling her my deepest feelings and sharing deeply personal thoughts. And she did the same to me. We talked about being women and how our lives were impacted by the genitalia that we just happened to be born with. We alternately learned from each other, often telling how some little tidbit we heard from the other one was helping us gain insight into our own situations. And so we talked a great deal about setting boundaries and how we felt so triumphant when we did so. We shared our stories about setting boundaries and how important that was, even at our age. I mean, at any age, setting boundaries is important. And so last year, this friend was coming back to this area to celebrate. It was in December of 2023. She was coming back to this area to celebrate Christmas with her family. She has many friends in this area, has forever, and still stays in touch with so many people, and she has lots of family in the area. So it meant a great deal to me when I knew she was coming back, and she made a point to set aside an afternoon for us to get together. It meant so much to me. Now, in the past, we've met at a restaurant, eaten lunch, and you know, had fun catching up in person rather than over the phone. But this time, she insisted on coming to pick me up at my house. Well, that presented a bit of a dilemma to me because in December of 2023, you know, I told you I just had hip replacement surgery. In December of 2023, I was in the worst shape physically that I have ever been in my life. And I told her as much. I was struggling so much. And when I told her the difficulty I had had walking so much that Stacy and I could no longer take our walks, which we both thoroughly enjoy doing, and we hike and we love taking long walks or exploring along rivers and different forests and different places and state parks. But when I told her that I was having this problem with walking, she said, "Well, my knee was hurting me, and my healer said it was unresolved trauma. I wore a knee brace for 2 days, and it was better." And I said, "Well, I don't feel like this is unresolved trauma. This is something physically wrong with me. I hurt. And this is not, Stacy can tell you, I try to power through. I don't want to be a baby when I'm, anything is getting to me. If I hurt my back, I mean, I'm going to wear a patch, take some extra Tylenol, but I get out and I try to work it and do what needs to be done. I don't want to baby myself. I never have. Stacy will tell you that I try to be tough to get past the pain. And I did everything in my power to deal with this pain without surgery. I had physical therapy. I had dry needling done. I had cortisone shots. And it bothered me that in spite of all that, the fact that I was still having this pain, that this person thought I was just being soft and that it was just unresolved trauma. And anybody who knows me knows how independent I am. I get in my car and I go and I do what I want to do. I have done that all my life. That's the reason I didn't want to have children. I don't want the responsibility. I'm selfish. I want to get out and go when I want to go. Plain and simple. And I've always been able to do that. But the winter of 2023, 2024, I spent more time on the couch in my house in pain, sending Stacy to do errands for me because I couldn't go in the store to get my own groceries. It was just something I'd never gone through in my life. And Stacy wasn't used to seeing me like that. And, you know, it was tough on us. So I knew my friend, here my friend was coming. She was coming here to my house to pick me up. Well, I don't know about most of you ladies, but if I know somebody's coming and I haven't been able to do a good cleanup for a while, that's what I want to do. You want to get in and you want to really have a good cleaning. And I hadn't had a spring cleaning or a fall cleaning in a while. And I have 5 cats, so, you know, sometimes it's furball city. And I wanted to get in and spruce things up. I did my best in my downstairs area to my housekeeping had already dropped off. Because, like I said, I couldn't get off the couch. I just wanted her to come here and get in the car and then to show her the neighborhood, the places where I enjoyed taking pictures, show her the Amish communities that I often share in my Facebook page pictures, and show her the places that bring me joy. I had been to her home. I visited her and her husband when she was married. I visited them at their home. Beautiful home. Huge. Gated home. Something totally at odds with my little farmhouse. And it isn't the fact that I live in a farmhouse. I do. I grew up in a farmhouse. If I die living in this house, I'll be perfectly content. I am not one, nor have I ever been, a person to try to keep up with the Joneses. That is not important to me. I don't care. I don't care. Give me, let me go outside and watch the sun come up, and then at night go out and watch the sunset and see something beautiful in between those two beautiful things. And I'm content. I do not need to have all the latest bells and whistles. I just don't. But I summoned my strength, and I did the best I could in preparation for my friend's visit, which left me in the evenings being even more exhausted and more in pain than I had been at the beginning of the day, which was already substantial. So the day came for her arrival, and I asked Stacy if he'd be here to kind of distract her from my home's shortcomings. It was definitely not up to the standards I would usually want to have somebody come and visit, or whatever, you'd have a get-together, have a Thanksgiving dinner, or have people come over for a party. It was not up to my personal standards. I don't care that my house doesn't have all the bells and whistles. I don't care. I just want it to be clean. That is the thing that is important to me. I don't want it to be nasty and dirty. So I did the best I could, and I wanted Stacy to be here to kind of be a buffer and maybe take her mind off of assessing my house. People can say they don't judge all they want. You may not judge, but you're going to compare. You're going to see. And I was not in the frame of mind, or not in the place to be to have somebody in here critiquing my house. So having a home that is functional is important to me, but one that has all the extras is not. And so I did the best I could. And what I envisioned happening, she was supposed to show up at an appointed time, was that she would come to the door, I would let her in. She and Stacy and I would talk for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then we'd be off for a great afternoon of catching up in person. Well, it didn't quite work out that way. She knocked. I answered. She stepped into the mudroom and up into the kitchen. Stacy joined in our conversation for a minute, and I said, "Well, should we go?" At this point, I was told, "No, sit down. Let's talk. We've been talking on the phone now for months. Let's talk." Okay, I was The tone shocked me. Did it not shock you, Stacy? Yeah, because she was being the authority figure in my home, telling me, sit down, let's talk. As shocked as I was, well, we sat down and we began an awkward conversation because all I could think about were the shortcomings in my cleaning. My eyes darted to this corner and that corner, and then she started admonishing me by sternly saying, why aren't you making eye contact with me? I felt like I was the subject of an interrogation at my own kitchen table. I was pissed, to be honest about it, and my feelings were hurt. And I'm thinking, who is this person? Who's this person ordering me around and speaking to me in this tone of voice? And, you know, my first instinct is to react and say, no, this is my house. No, let's just go. No, let's, but, you know, for some reason that the old, I want this person to like me kicked in. I don't want to make waves. So I let her steamroller me. I do not know why to this day. But then, after a few minutes, just when I thought we might be on our way, then she said, well, you need to show me the rest of your house. We discussed this on the phone many times. I'd had other people that wanted to see my house upstairs. And I said, no, I'm really not comfortable with doing that because the cats kind of are up there and I just hadn't been able to do a lot since I'd not been feeling so well. And I reiterated to her, no, absolutely not. I have not had time to clean up there. I could not walk up and down my steps to the second story of my house. I could not carry my vacuum sweeper up there. I could not do anything. But, and she did not care. She said, no, let's go. And pushes her way up. And I mean, I feel like I'm riding this wave of total indifference of a friend of mine who has, after all the talk about boundaries that we talked about, she blew through mine. She totally kicked over my boundaries and just walked all over me. And who is this? We sat in a room upstairs, me miserable, just miserable, embarrassed because, I mean, I would not have taken my own brother up there. My own brother would not have asked to go someplace if he did ask and I told him I can't get up there because my hip hurts and I cannot walk up the stairs. Anybody else that I know would have had the decency to say, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. I understand. Of course not. Not this person. No, 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 no. So after a few minutes of sitting there, me miserable, I'm wondering, who is this person that I thought was my lifelong friend? Who orders other people around in their homes like that with a sense of entitlement that this woman was showing? I had shared with her how vulnerable I felt with you know, because of and out of control because of this pain I was in. And it was just totally humiliating to have this person not understand for one second my shortcomings in the fact that I could not do what I would ordinarily have done. She didn't care about my physical pain. It's like, that's my problem, you know. Her healer would have said, it's my unresolved trauma and I need to fix it. Well, that's great. But it wasn't going to be working for me. And the hip surgery that I just had proves that. But after sitting in the room for a few minutes, she was finally willing to progress with our afternoon. So we came back downstairs. As I was getting my coat on, I said, well, we may as well take my car. To which she turned and looked at me with a horrified look on her face and said, why? Why? Because I live here. I know all the turns. To get to the 9 miles that we were going, the little town 9 miles away from here, I mean, I'd have to, our entire conversation in a vehicle would have been, turn left here, turn right here, turn left here. No, 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 turn left here, turn there. When I was at her house, I did not ask to drive her around her neighborhood. It's just counterintuitive. Why would anybody think that that's, even when you're on somebody else's turf, why wouldn't you be the one to drive? It was just, she did not want to give me that control. So, she finally acquiesced. She finally agreed to let me drive, but you would have thought I asked her to go in a Red Ryder wagon and I'd pull her all the way up to this town. She was just very, very irritated and annoyed that I wanted to drive us around. So, we made a couple stops, and then we finally went to lunch. And by then, the conversation was strained. It was hard. And I felt very guarded with her. I mentioned to her this podcast and the fact that Stacy and I were funding it ourselves. And so then she saw another opportunity to pounce on me and proceeded to grill me about, well, what have you done to get sponsors? And what are you doing about it? I was being grilled again at lunch. I felt I was grilled like my tenderloin I was eating. I didn't understand. I don't understand to this day. So it was turned out to be a very miserable afternoon. It was just the antithesis of what they thought the day was going to be like. I couldn't imagine it being more opposite. And the person that I had grown so fond of, this friend that I had bared my soul to and sold so many things to and shared so much with, was not the person I thought she was. So we returned to my place, and she left. I began to go over the day's events in my mind. Had I been oversensitive? Had I overreacted? I mean, I called Stacy, and he immediately asked if that was how we usually interacted in person. And I said, no, it's never been that way before. He's been around this person before in social gatherings. It's never been like this. But in this case, especially with her tone of voice, she was the boss. I was subservient. She was grilling me. She was in charge 100%. And so I began to look back to when we first started our series of over a year ago, those long phone calls. And I began to see something that I hadn't really realized, even though it was a very small detail. We had set these times to call on Sunday afternoons, and she always been the one to call. And I thought one day, you know what, I'm going to be one to make a phone call. I'll just call her. The phone rings both ways. People say, well, you don't call me. And it's like, well, you don't call me. I thought, I'll just be the one to place the call just because. And I did. I called. She answered. And she was so annoyed with me because I had called. She said, I was going to call. And so that should have been my first clue, I suppose, back then that this person really was a very controlling individual, and it bothered me deeply, and it hurt me. It hurt me. I mean, why was she behaving like this toward me? I know she'd had problems with her family. She had people she was going to talk to over the holidays, and she was going to line them out, if you will, straighten them out about certain issues, but I wasn't one of those people. I'm not her family. I'm her friend, or I was her friend. And we were old friends getting together to talk, or so I thought. It did. It bothered me. It hurt me. And after a few weeks of mulling it over in my mind, I composed an email. It wasn't hateful. It wasn't spiteful. I sat on it for a long time. I shared it with Stacy. And I said, what do you think? I mean, is this too harsh? Am I misinterpreting the facts? Did she not steamroll over me in my own home? Am I saying anything that's not true in this email? And he said, no, that's that. He saw it exactly as I'd stated it there. So I got brave and I hit send. And I don't remember how long it was before I got a reply. But the reply was pretty much no remorse, not a morsel, not one bit of remorse. It was one of those, I'm sorry that you took things that way. Not I'm sorry that I hurt you, but I'm sorry if you took things that way, I'm sorry. In other words, it's my problem with the problem because I got steamrolled over. I set boundaries and she broke right through them. And it's just hard to explain. I don't know. People see me as outspoken. I know they do, and I can be. But you know, when a woman lives by herself, and you have to deal with car dealerships, you have to deal with service people, auto service people, you have to deal with plumbers, you have to deal with anybody that's going to be doing construction or repair at your home, HVAC people. A woman doing that on her own is in great danger many, many, many times of getting walked on, steamrolled on, shoved aside, crapped on. It's just a fact. And I'm here to tell you. I know many women will tell you the same thing. It's just the way it is. And so you have to stand up for yourself. And in those situations, I have stood up for myself. And but that doesn't mean I didn't still have a thin skin. So, trying to work on that. And I found it necessary to set boundaries on social media as well, which I've discussed in this podcast before. I only see a small amount of content. The time I spend on social media is way down from what it would have been a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And that's a positive thing, very positive thing. I have better places I can put my energy. I don't want to disappear from those platforms entirely. I love sharing my photographs with people. There are people who say that my pictures bring them joy. And hey, I'm more than happy to do that. I'm deeply appreciative that they enjoy what I do. My pictures are not award winners other than in a very local, small way. But, you know, if somebody says, somebody who moved away said, seeing that makes me homesick. It makes me think of Matt Toon. It makes me remember when something happened at a certain time. That makes me happy. Not that they're sad or the homesick, but that it evokes a memory for them. Or somebody who's homebound that doesn't get to see a sunrise or sunset, or somebody lives in a city now and doesn't get to see those things. If it brings them joy, then that brings me joy. And so I don't want to disappear completely, but when it comes to things like national news, I no longer indulge in that as much as I did. I've watched it since I was a young adult, but I don't want to stick my head in the sand because I know there are things I need to know. But I get things in small, digestible pieces. I know what I have to know, and that's all I need to know. And I added morning meditation to my life, and I've got to say, in this present environment, my life has been so deeply enriched by doing that. And I would recommend that to anybody that wants to take a breather from this pressure cooker that we live in. You know, the fear, the paranoia, just the fear itself, and the paranoia is just it's stifling, and we don't need that. You know, like I said, you can't remove yourself from reality. Reality is around us, but you know, try to find another outlet, a way to take a step back and breathe in some air. And appreciate that. And as the beginning of my title was developing an armadillo skin, that's a work in progress. And as a person who is deeply empathetic and highly emotional, I have no desire to get rid of that core part of my being. That's who I am. I do not want to ever become an uncaring, non-emotional person. I don't. I think that's the worst thing, especially in this day and age. That is the thing that I can bring to the table, that I can bring to others, is that caring about what we're all going through and what we're striving to change and what we can do in a positive way to bring about change. And I don't want to wall off the part of me that cares about wars, about people suffering and people that going through heartaches of wildfires and natural disasters. I don't want to ever become that person that rejoices in the pain and suffering of others. I can't imagine being a person in the public eye. That in itself has changed so much from 20 years ago, 15 years ago, when people would, actors, performers, scientists, doctors, meteorologists, all these people who are experts in their field. They've worked hard. They've sweated blood, sweat, and tears to not just have an education, but to have a background, to have a history of employment and knowledge to get where they are. And so these people who have entered these professions and are considered experts in their field, and it used to be that those people were respected. And many of us still show that, but it is the dark underbelly, those ugly individuals who believe it is the internet, I'm entitled to my opinion, who proceed to unleash hate and vitriol on these people that the rest of us love and respect and depend on for their honest, unbiased, information that keeps us safe and healthy. I'm speaking in this case specifically of our local meteorologist, who's been a guest on the show a couple of times, who, in posting just things about the National Weather Service or cuts that have been made, these people are exposing themselves, and there are people that actually make threats to these people's well-being. It's insane to me that people talk about people violating other people's boundaries. That's just nuts. But that's where I feel like we can set an example. I try my best to ignore the trolls, block these ugly people, and set an example. Try to set a positive example. It's not easy, and Lord knows, anybody who knows me knows I'm not a role model for good behavior. Or at least I haven't been, but I've tried. I've tried, and I don't know that I want to develop an armadillo skin. When you think about it, that's probably for the best. I just think that these online haters, who just live to stir the pot, they are the ones with armadillo skins. They do not care what they say. They do not care who they hurt. They appear to be completely devoid of a conscience. So I think I'll just settle for the thicker skin that I have developed. Was I thin-skinned over my friend's visit in 2023? In my mind, not at all. She acted as a dictator and treated me as her prisoner. I mean, that's a little melodramatic, but that is how I felt, because I could not do any better than I could at that time due to my physical restriction. And I thought, up until that day, I thought we were peers. I thought we were equals, despite the fact we had such different backgrounds and we still live completely different lives. We were united by our toxic situations from the past. We were united by our love of animals. We were united by our love of music. We were united by sharing the same hometown. So, to sum it up, setting boundaries good, developing an armadillo skin is bad. Well, that's the end of that story. I'm going to bring this episode to a close. Thank people who've listened, and please continue to do so and share this podcast with your friends and family. And if you do like what you hear, please, I have a separate Facebook page called Life on the Illinois Prairie. I'm sorry, my cat is sounding like a bawling calf on the prairie, but we're at the end here, so we're going to let her bawl. But please, I have a Facebook page, not on my personal page where I have my podcast information pinned, but I have a separate page, different page. If you could go to that page and leave a positive review or leave a review anywhere where you listen to this podcast, it would warm my heart. Thank you so much. And everyone, please be kind. Thanks for listening to Life on the Illinois Prairie, the undercurrents of our American life. If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to Life on the Illinois Prairie wherever you get your podcast. Stay tuned for more stories, interviews, and updates. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Until next time.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.